Hello and welcome back to Rat City Radio. I am your host, Fairy the Pig. This is episode 56. With me, as always, is my ever optimistic co-host, Dread. Dread, welcome back.
Hello, this is Dread. And in today's podcast topic, it is the third day of the cycle refresh event. If you don't know, last epoch decided to reset the entire cycle, mainly to give a new economy for most of the people in Merchant's Guild, because the next patch has been delayed significantly due to a lot of feedback EHG has gotten. And they took that and they decided that, hey, our current plans for 1.3 and 1.2 were not big enough. So we decided to just merge most of them together. So we're going to have one really big patch after quarter one of 2025. And that's mainly because there's Path of Exile 2, Diablo 4, like all these things coming out. And they're like, all right, well, let's just refresh this stuff. And we got a bunch of other goodies with it as well. And apparently a lot of bugs from what I'm hearing.
So we've got lots of good things to say about the patch. There's plenty of things to talk about, like new mechanics, like the monsters are harder. There's loot lizards that they were maybe too common, but they're still fun to engage with. Like this event is fun. And it feels as though the event perhaps was marketed poorly, or like maybe they didn't lean into the fun stuff enough, because it is fun. I'm enjoying
it. That's actually something Last Epoch has done historically, is they are very much of the old kind of like game development mindset where you don't tell the players what's going on in the patch. Cause like, you know, you want to hide stuff for people to figure out and find, but if you don't tell them what's in the patch, people won't come and find it too. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's kind of a balance there.
So there's some fun stuff to talk about, but like, I want to be face up about this. It is Saturday, early afternoon. So the event's been live for like 2.5 days or so. And I closed Last Epoch and I opened up Satisfactory instead. And Dread wasn't here for like the latest hotfix. And I'm feeling a little bit down. Normally Dread is like feeling a little bit pessimistic and I'm feeling a little bit optimistic, but today I'm feeling a little bit pessimistic as well. So the latest hotfix, they said there was this issue for like the beginning of 1.1 refresh where like the loot was really far spread out horizontally. And not only that, you had so many crafting materials dropping on the ground that like every time you picked up one pile, it's like, okay, your inventory is full. So you got to open up your inventory and click the button to like merge them. And then you like click up more stuff and then merge again. Like I've never had to click that merge or the transfer crafting material button in my inventory more.
Oh, you're roboting.
Oh no, poor Comcast. I'm just gonna keep going.
Okay, there you're fine now. Yeah, you're fine now.
Thanks, Comcast. I've been pretty happy not playing hardcore because of my Comcast stuff, but we'll talk about that later.
I'm happy you didn't choose hardcore. Trust me, this patch is obscenely hard.
And we talked about that too. I think it's good, but more to the point, like the crafting materials and so many of them. The hotfix just rolled out, and there was a hotfix that said they were going to fix the, you know, wide people loot alignment that was happening by accident where your loot was spreading out too far, you couldn't re-loot and it was taking up too much of your screen, like you couldn't adjust it with the Z button. And they had a fix for that, and they did fix it, but they also nerfed the appearance rate of lizards, and they buffed like how much stuff they drop, but like nerfed the appearance rate of it.
So that they did exactly what I asked for. I was just like, I love these guys, I just they appear a lot, but they don't drop enough. Like they drop enough, but they did exactly
which is
what
good,
I
which is good.
That is very good.
In the meantime, they also introduced a bunch of UI bugs, where like you pick something up and you try to hit transfer crafting materials and it doesn't transfer, and you get white boxes all of your inventory, and your stash tabs are itty bitty little baby stash tabs instead of being normal sized, and like it's just. It's just a lot, man. Like, it's just a hot fix. You're going to break all these things during the hot fix. And like, my heart goes out to them. Like, they're game developers. I know these people. I want their game to succeed because I like the game and I do well on Steam and I basically get more money when their game does well. But like, goddamn, it'd be nice if it fucking worked.
The stash tabs are many. They're not that many for me, though.
No,
it's
playable, but the white box is appearing and the materials in your stash tab like not fixing. I don't know.
I mean, I don't have those problems. Sorry.
I'm glad you don't. That's good. It just leaves a sour taste in my mouth. And like, oh, I'm sure. It's not only me. I've been trying to be optimistic about the game as well, because I am optimistic about the game. But like, the people in my Twitch chat are also just like, you know, I no longer recommend this game. I'm sick of having so many bugs in this game. I'm sick of this. I'm sick of that. Like, why am I having performance issues? And like, I can be optimistic about a lot of things, but like, once they start eking into like my gameplay as well, it's like, well, it's really hard to get optimistic about this.
Well, so, I think this is like, this is just finally coming to a head. I think the word I'm going to use here is toxic positivity. Like I said, you know how like whenever I would bring up something negative, right? And everyone would be like, why are you being so negative, Dredd? And then now it's all coming to the front and it's like, it's all boiling over. I'm like, well, you know, if we actually gave the feedback they needed, right? You know, like for instance, imagine you have a restaurant, okay? And you're making burgers and they're a little pink on the inside. And no one has the gall to say to the people in the kitchen, like, hey, the burgers are a little pink. Can you cook them for a bit longer, right? Or whatever, whatever, right? But then people would get angry. Everyone else would get angry. It's like, they're not pink. They're not pink at all. And then eventually everyone gets salmonella and dies. And that's kind of the good example here where like there's way too much positivity going on, way too much white knighting. And it's like, guys, when I bring up the fact that hardcore was completely unplayable because when you died and you lost all of your progression, that's not me being negative to the game. That's me saying that like, hey, there's like foodborne illnesses in your food. You should probably fix that.
So let's finish describing what's going on in 1.1 refresh right now, because it feels like there's not a lot to talk about, but there is, because a lot of emotions are tied to it too. So you and I, Dredd, I think we're on the same page about the refresh, and like you mentioned that you didn't think the marketing was done well, and I'm with you on that. But like the refresh, it's basically nothing, right? Like there's no bug fixes because there's no balance changes either. They said that the next balance change 1.2 is going to be so big that they can't make any balance changes right now because it would conflict with
what's going on then.
So we're expecting a lot of changes in the future, but like right now it's all the same builds we had from 1.1, all the same bugs we had from 1.1, at least the ones that haven't been fixed, like, you know, EQ damage over time, dealing too much damage.
Well, or it was fixed and then rebugged.
Right, right.
Like the EQ damage over time.
So like what is this event? It's like, well, this event has a lot of fun stuff going for it. First of all, you gain favor really fucking fast.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Which like, is I like awesome for COA.
I just turned my brain off and I went from like 100k to 300k. It was great.
And prophecies are fun. So now I get to engage with prophecies more often. That feels good. That is a good thing.
Like, I agree.
It's going to be rough not having this bonus when they turn it off.
I don't feel like I'm always struggling to be able to buy and sell things.
Mm-hmm.
Like I have to choose either to buy or only to sell. Now I can just do both.
Yeah.
It feels great.
It feels like you're allowed to participate. That's great.
Yeah, it's great. I agree. It is.
So another one is like the loot lizards, and like the loot lizards kind of, to me, they kind of feel out of place in Last Epoch. Like we already have so much loot, and like, why are these little idiots running around? But like, I like killing them. It is fun.
I think with them being rarer, I think it'll feel better. I think when they were just a bunch of them and they dropped,
they were
like
everywhere.
Items,
what the?
Yeah, like it's a lot better now. I think it's cool. So I like the loot lizards. By the way, I don't mind them.
Mm-hmm.
They're the kind of content that they need to add a bunch of over the time to make it so that when you walk into a monolith, like right now, when I walk into a monolith, I don't just feel like, run to the objective.
Yeah,
now
you got
like,
stuff
oh,
to do. That's
oh,
great.
There's a nemesis pack.
Yes.
Oh, there's
yes.
there's some loot lizards. Oh, there's like a nemesis. It finally feels like as though there's stuff to do inside. Like when you go through the effort of killing these mobs, which we'll go into more detail, they actually drop loot, actual loot. Okay, like they actually drop stuff, and you know they're difficult, but they actually drop stuff. So
and they're fun, great. And like the loot lizards run past monsters, and the new packs of monsters, like the new elite packs of monsters,
are very dangerous.
And like if the loot lizard runs past them, you're like, oh shit, I want to kill that lizard, but now there's an obstacle in my way, and if I run past it, I might just die. Like that's a good dynamic to have in game. It really, really is.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So the packs of monsters, we can talk about these a little bit, like. Pour one out for the people who just like blind went into this in hardcore, like is always the case, right? Like those monsters hit like a truck. They are fucking scary, dude.
Dude, like, day one, okay? I am a fucking marksman, okay? I just want to let you know that. Mm-hmm. So I am squishy. I am squishier than your average build, okay? I'm way tankier now, but still. Like, at day one, I was not tanky at all. I had 3k HP at 300 corruption, and one of the transfusion caskets hit me for 6k. 6k, Perry.
Cool.
With armor, with fizz res capped, it wasn't a crit. It was just 6k.
Bonk.
Like, it literally did twice my HP and damage. What am I supposed to do against that? Like, this entire patch. Okay, I like everything, by the way. I like the difficulty. I like all that, okay? I just want to at that point. The mm-hmm. only problem is I chose the wrong mastery. Mm-hmm. I chose a marksman. The problem is, you know, like how we've always said, like, EHG doesn't like marksmen, right?
Go on.
How they've treated it over the past few years. You know, it feels like as though, like, I'm getting approached more, like, in that regard, because as I'm playing this marksman, every time I would die, it would be like, oh, you took like 2k damage and I'm at 1.9k HP in progression. And then the next time I die, oh, you took 2.1k damage and you're at 2k HP. And that would happen all the way up until 700 corruption. Oh, you're at like 2.4k HP. Guess what? The monster did 2.5 damage. And it just feels like the game is not friendly to marksmen whatsoever. It is very
when you say you feel like you're getting approached more, you mean like you feel like monsters are getting on top of you more often?
Oh no, I feel like the ulterior motives are approaching me more of, we don't like you, marksman. Go away.
Gotcha. Like, so I thought this was gonna be a segue for like the new, like the elite monsters that are in the game right now, those. And the ones that teleport on top of you.
Oh, those are great.
Yeah, it literally is great. Like, I like diamond matrons. I'm in the minority. The
first thing I want to bring up, I like diamond matrons too. I'm fine with them when there's not 50 of them on my screen.
Right.
You know,
but like these new elite monsters, like, they're chunkier. I don't feel like I'm
getting. That's actually something I noticed, is when you do get these elite monsters, we'll talk about in a moment, they don't spam the screen. It's weird because not in the way you're thinking. I mean, like, the packs themselves, they spawn enough away from each other that you don't feel like as though you're dealing with 2 to 3 packs at once.
Oh, you're feeling like one elite pack at a time. Yeah.
One elite pack at a time. It feels like that, and it feels so much better than just like, oh, yeah, here's 50 diamond matrons, by the mm-hmm. way. It's so much better. It's great. But yeah, we can talk about those a little bit here. But the main thing I want to bring out with the monsters is I want to bring up the point that I made last podcast where I was talking about, like, oh, like, we're not really hyped at all. I wasn't hyped at all because I didn't see what they were adding, because mm-hmm. it was just like, oh, we're adding skeletons. I'm like, great, great descriptor. That is not what they added. What so fucking ever? They didn't just add a bunch of skeletons to the mono. They added, like, actual content. And I think EHG's reluctance to market in like a proper way is starting to bite them in the butt, because, like, for instance, if I saw, if they, in the little graphic, they're like, hey, this is one of the new modifiers for the cycle, and it's literally a desecrated flesh teleporting on top of you and immediately starting spinning and killing you. Mm-hmm. If that was, like, the marketing for that, I'd have been like, holy shit, that's insane, right? Like, I'd be like, holy shit, that's crazy. Like, I don't want these to go. Obviously, if they stay in the game, they need to be nerfed, mm-hmm. but I like them.
Like, when they said that they were going to add a bunch of skeletons in, I thought they were going to add, like, a bunch of one HP skeletons that die when you look at them, and then just, like, you know, three extra packs of those. Like, I wasn't hyped up. I didn't know what to expect, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of pushback on the video I made about the cycle restart is a mistake, and mm-hmm. sadly, that video is kind of being proven a little bit, as you saw today earlier with the, you know, the hotfix. I feel like as though my biggest thing after the patch now is I'm surprised they didn't just do this in December. I could imagine them doing it in December because there's no big releases in December that would affect them that much, right?
They had content that was ready to go and they just wanted to release it. I can answer on behalf of them because I've seen the answer so many times.
That's okay. Yeah.
But like they said that this release window right now was the one that fit best for their release pipeline, and this was the only time when they could release new content. And it's like, if it's the only one, do it. You know, I don't know what it looks like on your side, but I just got to trust you at that point.
Yeah, exactly. And I think a lot of things as well is I think like the, what do you call it? What is it called? When it's not beer goggles, it's the other thing. It's like the
rose tinted
honeymoon phase. The honeymoon phase is over. People are a lot more receptive when it comes to like they log in and their stash is missing, you know, that kind of stuff. It's not just a har, har, har. Like people are taking the game seriously. Mm-hmm. Which is good for them, but it's also people are taking the game seriously. So, like, if there's, like, something that, let's say, erases all of my progression every time I die in hardcore, people are going to be angry at that, dude. Mm-hmm. Like, if I open my skill tree and I put on this node and it doesn't do what it says, I'm not going to like that, you know? And there's a lot of people that are like that, and those people will treat those moments as quit moments. Like, for instance, I just had earlier, I was talking with someone from a different Discord server I'm in. I was like speaking with them in call, and they're like, oh yeah, like I was playing last epoch 1.1, but I quit the moment I started using prophecies because I just didn't like the UI. I didn't like having to like go through all this just to get prophecies and farm all this favor and stuff. I'm like, that's a quit moment, right? You have all these quit moments now, and like it's starting to like boil up, right?
Yeah, totally. So I feel like I can just like list out the ones that I've been going through today. Mm-hmm. But one of the new things they implemented in 1.1 was, you know, resetting your entire mastery. You can respec it all with one click.
Oh yeah, that's hilarious. I've done that so many times accidentally.
So there's supposed to be a button for it. I don't know where the button is. I guess I haven't looked.
There
that
is
hard
a button. For. There is a button. It's in the upper right.
Right. So
when you're at the chick, yeah.
When you. It used to be the functionality was like you could reset one node and then click enter, and that would respec like 5, 6, 7, 9. So now, these days, if you click one node and you click enter to confirm it, it respecs everything in that mastery. And if you're in your base mastery class, it respecs everything. And I did that like
it costs gold too. It costs.
Oh my god, I forgot that it even costs gold. But I did that like 4 times in a row. Conscious of the fact that I was doing it by accident. I was like, okay, I just did this by accident. Oh man, I made one mistake. Better undo that. Oh my god, I just did it again. Like I did that for like 5 minutes. It was so stupid. And like those kinds of things, right?
Oh my god. Okay. I was playing, okay? And I had my wife sitting next to me because sometimes when I'm playing and just fucking around, I'll like have some YouTube on the other screen and we'll turn on like our speaker phones, okay? And she's just sitting there watching me trying to respec my character like 10 times in a row because I kept accidentally respecing everything. And it was just fucking hilarious. It's just like, I'm sorry, it's not supposed to be like this. I don't know what's going on. And it's cool. Like, it's because I forgot that they changed that.
Well, they weren't supposed to add in the enter functionality for deleting everything. That doesn't make any sense at all.
I just think it's funny. Yeah.
Well, it's really funny. It makes good content, baby.
Oh, yeah. I mean, those are like, so there's like two kinds of bugs that I feel right now that plague last epoch. There's these small like paper cut ones. They're just like, it's just like a small paper cut. Like I logged in and my UI is small. Like it's like, that's not going to make you quit. It's like, it's just like, you just look at it and you're just like, har, 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 move on. Right. Mm-hmm. I tried to walk into this pack and like, I was stuck in, like Shield Rush. Shield Rush is one of those paper cut bugs where you're just like, god damn it, this fucking sucks, dude. But you just don't play Shield Rush, right? But then there's like the massive ones, like we talked about, like the hardcore one, or like you know, like Earthquake doing like 5 times the amount of damage it should do and stuff like that. Or like for instance, remember we were talking about Storm Totem. And I think a lot of people are talking about Storm Totem. And I brought up the fact that Storm Totem was bugged. And I had 3 different people mention 3 different bugs, just completely different, like off instantly, right? One about the upheaval, one about the shock node, and one about like some other thing. I can't remember about, there was like something else. And I'm just like, you know, I can't really tell you if I think Storm Totem's good or not, because it's hidden by so many layers of bugs that I don't know if I could tell you if it's good or not, even if it was bug fixed. Like, I don't know.
It's more than upheaval bugs. Yeah.
Maybe. I'm pretty sure I was told
I thought there were no other
ones were fixed. No, itself there isn't. The Storm Totem itself does not have any more bugs.
Just like bugs.
It had a bug
around
with
it in the
shock chance shield, or if you had the shock chance node. Now that was in 1.0.
Okay,
or 1.
Sure, 1. I hear
1.1,
you.
Right? Now we still have it. It's the upheaval one is bugged. The multiplicative damage, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Oh, also what Eldritch Spectre just said too. Yeah, that's another one.
Its AI stops at random and no longer does damage. Yeah. Good.
Yeah.
So yeah. somebody asked me in Twitch chat, and I'm like, I'm the downer today, so let me just, you know, bear. Mm-hmm. But somebody asked me in Twitch chat, they're like, hey, like what's the most disappointing thing since 1.0? And before I even answered the question, I was like, listen, like that's such a toxic question to ask. Like, you can't just come into a stream and be like, what's the most disappointing thing that's happened since one? Like,
that's like just trying to like ask for a negative
thing. And I said, like, I'll tell you the answer. Like, I know the answer and I'll tell you, but first I need to make fun of you. Like, this is just like, this is a bad mindset for you. You shouldn't come into a stream looking for entertainment, looking for, like, you know, dumping on the game that the streamer is currently playing. This is not a good way for you to go about your life. But
yeah.
I wish they'd fix bugs. I wish there weren't bugs that were in the game for literal years. I wish that people who played the game for 10,000 hours had a better idea of whether something was or was not supposed to work the way that it's written. You know, like, that's the most disappointing thing. I just don't want to say
over. You know, Wander Dota, we had a 30-minute conversation on how smoke traps work in Explosive Trap.
Go on.
Because we were unsure if it was bugged or not. Because of its wording. Like, we spent like 30 minutes just discussing, like, is it bugged? Is it not bugged? I'm like, well, this looks bugged, but it's not. But how's this and that? And it was a whole conversation, and it was insanely entertaining. But it's at the same time, it's like, it just takes the wind out of you, man.
Yeah, it does. It does take the wind out of you. It takes the wind out of your sails. And that's one of the reasons that today, you know, I closed Last Epoch and I started to open up Set of Sadri again. Like, I want to wait a couple days.
I think one of those quit moments, and this is why we didn't make that video, by the way, about the multiplayer thing. I'm sure you could guess why. But I was like, we're so happy about multiplayer working. It was so great. It was good to go. We were having a good time. The damage was a little bit lower than you'd want and all that, although we were doing fine.
It was fun. It was one of the most fun things I've done recently in Last Epoch.
Yeah. And then we get to Aberroth and all that, the incident happens. Right, which I don't think has been fixed, by the way. I didn't see it in the bug fixes, so I don't think that bug is fixed. So if you want to cheese Aberroth, it's okay. There's other ways of cheesing them right now. But that happened. And I was just like, you know, I don't want to make a video anymore. Like, because my problem is, it's literally just going to be negative. And I don't like making negative videos. I don't like talking about negative stuff. Like, don't get me wrong, like I love this game, and I don't like talking about it negatively, okay? Like, I legitimately don't like talking about it negatively, but I also will talk about it negatively if I feel like as though it will improve the game, right? And the reason I didn't make that video was I just felt like it's just being negative to be negative. Mm-hmm. I don't want to make that video. Like, that's why, like, and now it's just like, I don't know. It's just weird, dude. I don't know how I feel about it.
But it's fun. So 1.1.
It's been like, mulling over in my head for a while about that specific instance and whether
the multiplayer thing, sure.
Yeah.
But like, again, I want to say like 1.1 refresh with the loot lizards running away from you. You know, we had a lot of them. They nerfed the appearance rate. So there's going to be fewer now, but it's still fun. And like the extra monsters, fun. The increased difficulty from those elite packs of monsters, fun. Like, this is fun. I'm literally enjoying my time playing this.
Yeah, like, I'm enjoying my time. Like, dude, like, literally, like, I wasn't a Debbie Downer about the patch. I was just saying that, like, from a health of the game perspective, it was a terrible idea, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I'm sadly being proven right. Sadly, I don't want to be proven right, but I am about, like, they probably shouldn't just have done it in the first place at this point. Because of, like, you know, like, all these bugs, like, they can't handle these small little bugs, you know? It's just, like, why even do it in the first place, right? They might as well just kept all this and had it just as extra content in 1.2 to hopefully save the game's image in that regard, right? But, yeah, it... I don't know. I don't know how I feel about it still. I'm still mulling it over in my head about, like, everything.
So let's talk a little bit about builds. I know we, like, briefly mentioned what was going on, like, the builds that you're playing, the builds that I'm playing. So I'm gonna, I guess, let me start out real quick. Because
you can go ahead, yeah.
I've been playing some Falconer. I went into this thinking that I wanted to play something with Explosive Trap plus Acid Flask, because I really like the idea of that. I played, like, a Spark Charge version of it, but I wanted to try it again. So at the very last moment, instead of being Blade Dancer, I pivoted to Falconer instead. And
oh yeah, I heard about that, and people came in my chat and said you betrayed me.
Yeah, so I probably should not have played Falconer. Like, I don't have, like, a great justification for it. But one thing that really makes me sad is, like, I had my build of Explosive Trap plus Acid Flask.
You put on Razor Fall and everything went downhill.
Right? Like, I literally told you,
I was watching you, and I told you, if you put those boots on and you play Falconer, you will literally not want to play anything else.
Yeah, yeah. It's so brutal. Like, I feel like I'm an Explosive Trap plus Acid Flask build. But, like, Umbral Blades is so...
Oppressively strong.
It takes up so much screen real estate too. Like, it's so flashy, it's so recognizable. And people ask me, like, oh man, like, are you playing Umbral Blades? Like, no. Are you playing Shadow Daggers? No, I'm not. Like, oh man, are you gonna put Acid Flask in your build? Like, well, this is an Acid Flask build, so yes. And it's like, the question's just, like, out of this world, man. Like, as soon as you put those boots on, I had my three skills and I didn't know what skill number 4 and 5 were going to be. I'm like, oh, let's just put these in because they help with clear speed, and this is, like, a clear speed thing because there's more skeletons and whatnot, and I want to take advantage of, like, the increased favor gain. Like, why not just toss it on? And, like, this thing that I just kind of tossed on as an afterthought has just, like,
I warned you, I was there, it seeped
into my build. It's become, like, the center point of the build, and I hate it. I don't want to do this. And not only that, but, like, you know, my stupid mana cost. I didn't realize in patch 1.1 they added, like, +3 mana cost to the skill that I want to be using.
So, like, Trappist node,
it's like my mana just, like, it kind of sucks. My mana ain't great. And that is a buzzkill.
Yeah, I've been stuck in... So Palastron recently DM'd me asking for build advice and stuff like that. And originally he was going to play Electrify's Multismite, the version of the... Ugh. And... it would have been a good build. It's just not from a fresh start perspective.
Sure.
And then instead of that, he decided to play Explosive Trap, Acid Flask. And he watched the video that I put out about, you know, Explosive Trap, Acid Flask. And pretty much, like, we just had a long conversation of how do we cycle start this without the 2-5 mana cost rings. I'm just like, you're playing a Blade Dancer and a Falconer. You literally have all the options in the world. You just put on Umbral Blades and you just take it off when you get the -5 mana cost rings.
Done. Yep. It's like, you can go SD, you can go bleed, you just, like, do whatever you want. Like, you'll be be completely fine. Don't worry.
Yeah. You will not have a single problem.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was just interesting, that conversation.
I didn't realize, like, double tier 7 is what it's gonna take to feel good. Like, my boss damage is just, like, it's fine, but I get to a point where, like, I run out of mana and just, like, you know, kind of stand around for 10 seconds.
The problem is, normally, that's how the game is supposed to work. The problem is, Umbral Blades and Razor Fall is not how the game is supposed to work.
What a
so you're
fucked
you're
up
comparing
item.
It you're comparing it to that, and what's happening is you're like, this normal build with normal damage and normal problems problems you have to solve is being compared to this other thing that has no problems in the first place.
And I was talking about that as well, like, saying, you know, the build that I'm playing right now with Explosive Trap Acid Flask, I need to solve the mana, and then I need to figure out what to do about survivability, because I'm dual wielding right now.
It's satisfying to solve those problems. That's the point of playing a game like this. Like, for instance, when I was playing the Bleed Blast Rain build, which we'll talk about, I had to solve my survivability. I was doing 1.4 million ticks on the dummy. That was great.
That's great.
I needed to not die. So what I did was I went to the market, I bought some items, and all of a sudden I wasn't dying as often, because, you know, I say often because I'm still a marksman, so you know, I will die randomly just because, you know, oh, there was a dot pool that I couldn't see.
Mm-hmm.
Visual clarity is also something we will bring up later. But continue about your build, or do you have anything else to talk about it?
The last thing that I was going to say about it is just like solving problems. Solving problems is fun, but there's so many builds out there that just like don't need to solve problems.
Yeah, I agree. Like, and it's like, why would I solve problems on this one when I could just go play this and not solve the problem?
I could just like, I'm already a Falconer. I could just play Bleed Falconer, you know?
Yeah. I think this is why I actually played a good build this patch normally than like just playing an experimental one or like a less good, like, I don't know, like more complicated one. This build is nowhere near as complicated as the normal builds I play. And the reason why is because I kind of knew that the monsters were going to be overpowered as fuck, because there's been a trend of late whenever they add new monsters, it's always been stronger. I didn't think it was going to be to this fucking level, okay? But I knew that they were going to be tougher, so I was like, okay, let me play a good build. Like, there's a cycle refresh, no balance changes. That's the perfect excuse to play something overpowered, right? Sure, why not? Let's blast, right? And I feel like that's the mentality you got to have here. Like, you should just play Falconer and just have fun with it, so that when people ask you like, hey, what do you think about Falconer, it's like, I think it's fun, I think the concept is fun, but it has it has no problems to solve, right?
Yeah, I see. No notes.
Embrace the OP-ness for just a moment.
I love the OP-ness.
Yeah, so for my build, I was playing Bleed, Blast, Rain, Marksman.
How did you settle on Bleed for that instead of just like crit
Bleed? Yeah. So I watched you play the Blast Rain build. I was like, that's insanely entertaining. I want to play that. And I wanted to play Bleed because the scaling on it is absurd, because you get explosive trap hits, 6 hits there. You get the 60% spark charge chance too, which is absurd for clear, by the way, right? So you get that, and you get 6 detonating arrows, and then 1 in 8 of those are going to explode, and there's nodes inside detonating arrow that gives you generic more damage with explosions. And they also, last patch, they added a node called Deadly Ailments. Ailments inflicted by detonating arrow deal more damage over time. So that includes the arrow and the explosion, right? So they just buffed it last patch. That was my justification for it. And I also, in patch 1.0, someone, Snoobe, he played Marksman. He's like Path of Exile like player, but he played Marksman, and he went for an Endurance Threshold stacking build. And he pushed like 1k corruption on a Marksman, and he was just fine and all that. Yeah. And this is the old corruption too. This is like when things were scarier, right? And he was having a great time, and that kind of inspired me. I was like, oh, wow, you mean like I could be a Marksman and also not fall over? And Bleed just worked way better with the Endurance Threshold stacking, because Blood of the Exile, you don't need HP on it. I have tier 6 flat armor on my Blood of the Exile, right? On my Salt the Wound, I have tier 7 Endurance Threshold. On Valdir's, I just have life because it hit life, like whatever, right? And I'm running like a Font of the Erased and all that. And pretty much it was just significantly more convenient to go Endurance Threshold stacking with the Bleed version than the crit version.
Interesting. So it wasn't a DPS consideration. It was just like,
no. Also, I'll be honest, I like the current Bleed unique package.
Mm-hmm.
And I also like Sanguine Horde as an item.
Yeah.
As well. It's a very low LP item. Right now I have one with like T6 fizz damage, T5 bow attack speed, and T5 blind on hit.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like amazing. It is
so just... are you planning on using something like Phase Point once you get there? Are you just like Sanguine Horde all the way?
Yeah, Sanguine Horde. Well, Sanguine Horde gives me bleed chance on bow hit on the implicit. It's low LP. I can get 3 LP on it. Gives you 25% bow attack speed. My quiver parry is giving me 40% bow attack speed, and it's giving me 2% of damage over time, leech's life, and it's giving me 45 life. Like, how could you argue with that?
Pretty good.
Like, it's so many stats. It's like, it's great. But yeah, I just like the bleed. I like bleed more. in my opinion. I like bleed more. Also, I like puncture. I'm a puncture enjoyer.
Mm-hmm. So, like, even though you're like you're keeping up the stacks, I guess it generates mana for you too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, the thing is like you get enough bleed chance generically with this setup that you don't need to use puncture constantly. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm at 200% bleed chance, which is enough, and then also a bleed bow and hit. I was supposed to fix that problem. My chest is garbage, but you know, but yeah, I went bleed and I enjoyed it. Because the reason why I went bleed too is because the spark charge scale with the bleed, right? Like eventually
all the random bullshit procs are scaling with
if
bleed.
If like God came down and like gave me like, I don't know, 2 T7 minus mana costs, like Font of the Erased, I would like play Acid Flask too. Oh, also another cool thing. I wanted to another reason why I played this build was because the reason I played bleed is it was way cheaper to get this amount of damage because I cheated. What I did was I am running detonating arrow, explosive trap, puncture, shift, and umbral blades. And I am running the shift thing where you shift and give your next skill a lot of bleed and damage. And I'm using spinny umbral blade. So I puncture, I shift, I put umbral blade on target, then I blast rain and repeat. And it is like so much extra damage. And that's why bleed, I liked it because it's just extra damage. And like, what am I going to put in those slots anyways? Like smoke bomb, like decoy, shuriken. Like it literally gave me so much DPS early on that I was just able to focus all of my gear on surviving.
The shift bleed shouldn't do much for you, right? Like it's just affecting that next one singular blast rain?
No, umbral blades. Spinny umbral blades.
Oh, wait. Is that how it works? I thought it'd be like the next skill you use.
It is the next skill you use.
I hate manually casting it. Oh, you're manually casting. I thought you were proccing it off of shift.
No, I'm manually casting umbral blade single target. Just on single target.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. I'm using blast rain for clear. So like umbral blade bleed is very strong, but it doesn't have the best clear in the world if you just go spinny.
Yes.
But blast rain bleed has absurd clear. So you just got it.
Okay.
And since you're playing a bleed build,
it doesn't matter. Like one's bow, one's throwing, who cares?
Yeah.
Got it. And see, now I'm figuring it out. There we go.
But yeah. That's my build.
Twitch chat saying that spark charges are shining in this event. Yeah, spark charges.
Oh, they're absurd this event. Like spark charges are even more absurd in this event. There's just so many enemies.
Weird. Spark charges are good. Is Fragment of the Enigma the problem?
No. The problem is them developing stuff without acknowledging Fragment of the Enigma's existence. What happened was spark charges were just kind of like a side thing, like fire aura.
They
got Fragment of the Enigma. It's like, oh my god, we could play all these cool spark charge builds after they bug fixed it. And it was great, right? But then they just kept adding spark charge stuff and spark charge stuff and spark charge stuff. And it's just like, well, it's no longer hipster.
Now it's like just completely mainstream, dominates wherever it shows up.
Yeah, and then you know, you introduce us a node that says you have 100% spark charge chance on hit, and you give one of the strongest skills to ever be made in Last Epoch history the ability to work with Fragment of the Enigma, because for some reason, EHG hates mana and will make it so that any skill can get over 40 mana, right? In this case. Like, how come...
Interesting. Yeah, why does Frostclaw...
how come Frostclaw can get to 40 mana?
It's supposed to be like a low mana cost thing, right?
But Fireball can't, and Fireball has a spark charge unique.
Well, right? So
if you think about it.
I hate that I know the answer to these questions. I hate it.
Is it? What's the answer?
Well, the answer is not all skills need to be the same thing. It's interesting to solve different problems on different skills. And the other one is if it already has a Frostclaw unique, or sorry, if Fireball already has a spark charge unique item, then it doesn't need further support to play Frostclaw because it's already a supported archetype.
Well, then they should make the unique not garbage
thing. Maybe they should make
like,
it better.
Why is there a node that says gives me 100% spark charge chance and the gloves themselves don't give you 100% chance to proc spark charge on
God? What a like good fireball. Question. God, you're so smart, like, Dredd.
Ooh.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny if like if this same stuff happened to Fire Aura, imagine if the same stuff happened to Fire Aura and we're just in a different reality, and instead of spark charges we're talking about Fire Aura spark.
Yeah, like people are trying to like meme up with like Fire Aura Warpath and Fire Aura Swarm Blades, and man, what if I got Fire Auras on my Acid Flask character? That'd be so good.
Yeah, that would be rather funny. I think I'm fine with spark charges for the most part. I think it, the time has come. And I think if they're going to give us more spark charge stuff, I think Fragment of the Enigma has to
be addressed in some way.
Addressed? I mean, like nuked from orbit.
Deleted?
I think the biggest thing, and this is going to be the crazy part, spark charges don't have the best single target.
That's right. Frostclaw. Yeah, true.
Because ignoring Frostclaw here, by the way, spark charges don't have the best single target. If you're playing a mana strike spark charge build with Fragment of the Enigma,
it's fine.
They
it's
need
fine
to target. Make the AoE on it only work if you use it with a melee attack. So make it kind of like the Judgment Gloves, how they made those work, where you only get the AoE if you're unarmed. You only get the AoE if you're melee.
Sure.
And I think that would fix all the most of the problems. It wouldn't fix the Flame Reef thing, but like, whatever. Like, oh no, there's a Spellblade build that's good.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have more of those.
All right, so we're talking about...
the problem. I mean, the problem is like spark charges, as they add more density into the game, this is going to be a repetitive topic. It's going to come up again and again and again and again. Anything that scales with density gets better when you scale up density, right? And they've been scaling density a lot because there's been a lot of people complaining about density. So they've just been like, let's fucking pull the trigger, right?
This is very similar to old complaints about generating ward on hit. Like, if you can generate defenses based on hits on enemies, like as soon as you put more enemies in and make them not fall over, you know, like they're made out of paper or something, you can generate absurd amounts of ward or absurd amounts of defense. And like that's a lot of old arena builds were just things that generated ward on crit, ward on hit, because those things weren't addressed
like
at that point.
Sophie's builds. Sophie's builds were so, like that too.
And this is what got addressed and capped, and you know, 3 per 2 seconds or something, and like Rune Master and whatnot. But like this is just the DPS side of that question.
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little bit, but in my opinion, first things off, obviously, there's no fucking way, no reason that I should be able to spec Frostclaw and manage to get it to 40 mana. Like, why? Like, why? Like, in the current state of Last Epoch, how is there a way that I can take my 10 mana cost skill and get it all the way to 40 mana? Like, ugh.
It's like, or down to zero, right?
Or down, I can either make it cost 40 mana or zero. You know what? I kind of like that because I like the ability to like be able to manipulate my mana costs, but I don't know. I always complain about things that like have high mana costs that don't do anything. Mm-hmm. So this makes me sound like a hypocrite here. So I will shut up.
Well, you know, it's the 40 mana cost because of Sorc, because of the spark charge node.
I think if they just introduced Sorc without the spark charge node, I think like Sorc could be in such a good spot right now. Obviously, Static Orb needs to be talked about, but Static Orb is its own mess.
Well, Static Orb has fucking insane scaling on it.
Static Orb is the, like, remember, we were talking about, like, remember, we used to play Static Orb and like, oh, this is the new hipster thing because we have Static Orb Orbit. Oh, look at this new hipster thing. We can play Static Orb Dot. And now we're just playing Static Orb. And there's going to be like, now we're just going to play Orb. It's just going to be Orb. They're going to take the static out of it. It's going to be Orb. I'm going to play Orb.
Can I play Fire Orb?
Just Orb. And then guess what? They're going to nerf all the stuff on Sorc. They're going to nerf the damage on Static Orb, right? And guess what? Oh, look. They're playing Frostblast Static Orb now. Frostbite Static Orb. Look at that. Look how easy that was to do.
All right. So, I don't know. We have the 1.1 refresh. We've talked about the fun that we're having, which, again, I want to double down on.
I'm having a lot of fun this patch.
You and I are both enjoying this patch more than we thought we were. you haven't logged in since the hotfix that broke.
I just did. The UI stuff. And none of my shit's fucked.
Okay,
my shit's
so
fine.
My UI stuff has got me feeling down, so I'm not going to play for the rest of the day. I might take like 24 hours off and just like chill for a bit, but I'm going to go play some Satisfactory.
You don't. You have almost half a year at this point, dude.
Increased drop rates of unique items and the favor gain stuff is only for a month.
Mm.
But I guess the skeletons are only there for 1 month, right? The elite packs of monsters. Mm. Can we keep those?
I mean,
I don't need bonus favor gain. Can I just have the increased difficulty in the game? It feels really good.
I agree. I like it. I like being able to walk into a monolith and like actually have fun with it.
Yeah.
Well, like, okay. All right. I say that, but they added more ways of meteor birds. So I don't know how I feel about that.
I guess we can mention the shrines. They said that they had like 20 plus shrines added to the game. And now we've experimented with them.
Oh my God. Exactly what I thought. It was fun novelty. And then it died out so quickly. It's just
I think it opens the door for like shrine related unique items or shrine related buffs.
Sure, yeah. At that point, that'd be cool. Like something that gives you a shrine buff every 20 seconds.
Sure. Cool. Or like, you know, the gull or even like headhunter things from Path of Exile. And I like it. Like, especially during leveling, like it really spiced up leveling. Like fucking having these skills shooting up all the place. Yeah.
That was fun. Yeah,
it was very cool.
Yeah. I liked it. Yeah. I am fine with it. It's just exactly what I thought it was going to be. It was just going to be just 20 different skills on like a stick, which I'm fine with. I think it's fun.
All right. So I don't need to have a 2-hour podcast, but I do want to ask you one more thing.
Mm.
What does a lizard tail do?
A lizard tail? I don't know.
What's it do?
I saw you guys talk about it. I don't know what they're going to do.
So there's a 1 in 10,000 drop item that drops from lizards. There's 5 different ones and they drop like keys. So like you can't interact with them with your loot filter. I think they show up as a white item, but you can't filter them out by accident. So don't worry about that. They're an Easter egg? What are they supposed to do? Are we like unlocking a secret?
Is it like
level?
The cow level? Yeah, the cow level.
I feel like it'd be insane. Like, is anyone actually going to get all 5 of these things? Has anyone seen them? Yeah, people
Legacy?
Have seen them.
Yeah. Legacy, yeah.
People can like grind up for the next
all
5
you do
months.
Is you just keep it for your legacy, Perry, and eventually,
maybe. And eventually, you get all five different lizard tails. You can unlock the Lizard King level.
Yeah,
I'll be disappointed if there's no Easter egg along with this, because like that's such a weird thing to add to the game. It's like lizard tails.
I mean, they could be like the white albino roa feathers too, where they just
that'd be super boring. Come on, surely they do something, right?
Yeah,
I hope so. I was really excited. I was hoping for like
I guess next week we can talk about the monsters in more detail, see if they change them more.
Do they need changing? Just
if
let them kill people.
If they want to be in the game forever, yeah.
Yeah, but like they have an entire month to gather information on that.
I was like talking about it earlier. I was like with someone, I was like, someone was complaining about the difficulty of them. It's like, I don't like this. I'm like, for like a 1 month event, like I'm fine with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
But my problem is it brings up the fact of the being able to choose whether or not you have the monsters.
Yes.
By, i.e. like private league or like league, like like a different flag or whatever and all that. That was just the biggest, weirdest part of this whole thing, was just like why this isn't just like a small mini private league that like it's like, I don't know. I guess it's just technology or like whatever they're like doing. Like there's like probably some boring technical answer for my question, answer wise. So it's like whatever.
I've been asking lots of people in Twitch chat how their melee experiences have been with the new packs of monsters.
As soon as I saw my first pack of them, I'm just like, oh yeah, we're not playing melee this batch.
I've seen some bad experiences. People playing like
playing Smother's Wrath, but that's because I hit a T7 melee fire world splitter and it affects like the charge speed. So like we're just gonna do that.
I've heard people playing like VK Rai, for example, and they're like, nope, I'm not having any of this. As soon as they got to monoliths and started fighting those monsters, they just rerolled.
Yeah.
So melee is in a spot right now.
Oh yeah. It's not fun.
But I guess if anyone else has experience playing melee, whether you're watching live in Twitch chat right now or later or somewhere else, but I'd like to hear how your experiences would be. All right, Dread, best of luck in your character. I hope you enjoy playing Smelter's Wrath, baby. I'll be back playing some kind of like probably SD Falconer at some point, even though I'm kind of down on the idea of playing SD Umbral Blades because it's so meta.
I mean, so we can end the podcast here and I can help after that.
Oh, you got something to talk about post podcast?
Yeah. We can do that.
Post podcast. All right, chat. If you want the post podcast, you got to be here live, right? This is episode 56 of the podcast, Reno. Dread, thank you as always for being here with me. I appreciate that, buddy. And if you're watching live or if you're watching after the facts on YouTube or on a podcasting platform, let us know where you were listening to it so we make sure that your viewing and listening experience is as good as possible. Until then, we'll see you next time. Have a good one.